What a glorious day that will be. If you have your Bibles with you this morning there, if you'll open that to the history of the church, to the book of Acts, chapter 20, and verses 17 and 28. I'm going to take a moment here and just kind of refresh your thoughts a little bit about shepherds that we spoke of both last week, last time we were here, and again. This is from another writer, from Dr. Luke, who writes about the church. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, this won't be on your PowerPoint, so we'll just kind of, you'll have to use your Bible here. Paul is writing here about his missionary journey. He says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the presbyteros of the church. Do you remember what I said? The presbyteros are the elders. He called for the elders of the church, the presbyteros. And then if you'll drop down there into verse 28, he's talking now to the presbyteros, who we also found out they are also the poimenos. They're the pastors. And he said to them, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. We talked about the fact that the church is, when God gives us something to understand, recognize the church, he calls that church sheep or flock. And he says, take heed to yourselves, pastors, to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you episkopos, overseers. Overseers, episkopos. We talked about, so he calls the elders, the presbyteros, he calls them episkopos here, to shepherd, to poimenos, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, the shepherd or pastor, the church. Well, I just wanted to put those things together for you so that you would see that depending upon what pastors do, sometimes they are overseeing, sometimes they are advising, sometimes they are proclaiming the gospel. But whatever you want, whatever they're doing, and whatever you want to call them, they're pastors, they're shepherds. And so, if they're shepherds, if pastors are shepherds, that should alert us as to what pastors do and what they are to do. And since you are voting today, you are expressing your concern to call a pastor. I thought, well, you need to know what to expect. What is he here for? What is he to do? And so that's why we're going to look at this particular pastor passage here. So what is a shepherd? Well, a shepherd is someone who looks after sheep. As simple as that. And he may have a flock of 5 or 10 or 20 or 40 or 400, 4,000. Shepherds have flocks varying in size. And if the pastor is to lead that flock and care for that flock, then he must give attention to their needs and to what their needs really are. A real shepherd lives with sheep. That's the real thing. A real shepherd does not live in his office somewhere or with a computer. He lives with sheep. He lives with people. He lives with people so closely. A shepherd lives with sheep so closely that they literally know the names of every one of their sheep. I've been told this, read this, that if you're a good shepherd, you literally know the name of every sheep in your flock. I have a friend, acquaintance, with whom I went to school with, and in time he became pastor of one of the largest churches in our country. Jim Henry, down at Orlando, and now Jim is not, he's retired from that, but with 10,000 members, some said that Jim could stand at the door of the church, and as each person came out the door, he called them by name. He knew them by name. Now, that's harder for some of us to do that many, you know. Someone asked me this morning, now, what's that fellow's name coming in the door there? And, oh, boy, I'm thinking. A good shepherd knows them all by name. He nurtures the young. He cares for the young. He binds up the wounds of those that have been hurt. He cares for the weak. He protects them all. A shepherd, by spending so much time with sheep, I'm told that shepherds smell like sheep. And if you smell like sheep today, if you are that familiar and caring about people, it's possible for you to be a good shepherd. I would not be surprised that in this very audience today there is someone here whom God is preparing to be a shepherd in the sense of a pastor, an episcopus, an overseer. And I don't know who that person might be, but if God is speaking to your heart and He's preparing you for that, then sometime, maybe now, maybe later, you're going to have to say to the Lord, yes, I will do that. I will do that. Now, here's the key thought. Shepherds have a distinct role, wouldn't you say? They're different from mechanics. They're different from doctors. They're different from teachers, truck drivers. Shepherds have a distinct role. And because Jesus described Himself in the Gospel of John, He says, I am the good shepherd. We want to know what a shepherd is like and what he does. And so I want to give you some distinctives this morning of shepherds. We're going to look at those in a moment here. When our Heavenly Father determined that He would leave us something to guide us, a role that would model for us what a pastor does in a church, He didn't pick out a cowboy. He didn't pick out a CEO of a board. He didn't pick out a sheriff. And He didn't pick out a hired hand. He picked out a shepherd. That should tell us something. Your pastor would be a shepherd. So what do you know about shepherds? If you take the shepherd model out of the Bible, do you know how many pages you'd have to tear out of your Bible? 500. 500 pages that talk about shepherds. So it's important. The role that God describes for a pastor is the role of a shepherd. So let's look at these this morning, and I'm going to give you, I promised the children I would give you 10 distinctions or distinctives, 10 distinctives, signs of a shepherd. So let's start with them. The first one is easy. Shepherds smell like sheep. They spend so much time with sheep that you know where they've been. You know who they spend a lot of time with the sheep. And so as a pastor, obviously, he's going to have to spend a lot of time with the people, getting to know them. Somebody's going to say, well, what size should the flock be for the pastor? I got online and Googled around, and somehow it seems I can remember that somewhere less than 100. A good pastor, a true pastor, can only take care of about 100 people or less. And when a church reaches that size, it usually goes out and gets a helper for another shepherd who works in a different sort. You already have a helping shepherd here, Brother Tom here. And then if the church gets larger, you'll probably need another one. And so it really doesn't matter what size the flock the church has. It depends more on the ability of the shepherd to be able to minister to that flock and to get to know each sheep intimately. And they do. I understand that sometimes shepherds have a sense of humor when they name their flock. I'm not sure what a pastor might be thinking like this, but they'll see their sheep and they'll call old Ragged Ear and and old Slowpoke and Fence Crawler and Cross Eye and all. I don't think pastors do that, but I mean... But the idea is that the shepherd knows his sheep intimately, each one of them, and he gives them a name and he knows them. And Jesus said, I know my sheep and they know me. They know my voice and I know them. So when lambs are born, I understand that many times the shepherd is right there when the lamb is born And sometimes the very first sound or voice that a lamb hears is the voice of the shepherd. As he takes that lamb and takes it into the flock, if it's too young, he carries it. If it's hurt, he will carry it with him. And so shepherds literally smell like sheep. What do you do when the shepherd no longer knows his sheep a name? He can't meet all their needs. Well, you find him a helper. This is not only New Testament, it's Old Testament as well. Do you recall when Moses left Egypt and there were all these people out there, almost a million in number of the people he brought out of Egypt, and Moses was taking days to sit out there in the sun and try to settle all the needs and problems they had. And Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, came alongside and he says, Moses, you can't do this. You've got to get some help. You need helpers who will take care of tens and who will take care of 50s and who will take care of hundreds and thousands. You've got to get helpers, Moses. Moses, if you're going to be a shepherd, you've got to have help. And this is true even if you're not a pastor, but you've been given a small flock in the church to look after as a Sunday school teacher, usually about seven or eight people, and you get beyond that, and you say, I don't have time to see all those people, to call all those folks, to get in touch with them. So you get some caregivers who'll be shepherds of a flock. And so many times the teacher is the shepherd of a flock, will have others who assist him or her in meeting the needs of those who are in your care, in your flock. The work of a shepherd is consuming, let me tell you. It takes a lot of time. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah understood this fully. Let me read you a passage from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Here Isaiah paints a picture of God as the great shepherd, and he says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. What a beautiful picture of God. Parents, adults, and children. Children will sometimes say to their teachers, parents, what is God like? And what would you say? He's like a great shepherd. He's like a great shepherd. What does a great shepherd do? He gathers his lambs. He holds them. He leads them gently. He keeps them in his arms. What a beautiful picture. Now, if you don't like sheep and you don't want to care for people, then you're not going to ever be a very effective shepherd. The same is true of people. Now, here's the second distinctive of a shepherd. A shepherd is close to his sheep. We've already seen that. Isaiah tells us that here. He gathers the lambs in his arms. When a shepherd gets too distant to his sheep, it's time for him to find someone to help him or a new shepherd. Church pastors and leaders and teachers can never reach the point that we no longer have time to be with the sheep and to meet their needs and not touch the sheep, gently gather them into our arms. And a third distinctive here, a shepherd carries his sheep when it's needed. Now, if that's demeaning to you and you say, let everybody take care of himself and get there the best way they can, you don't want to be a pastor. You don't want to be a shepherd, not even of a Sunday school group. If you say, well, I'm here to teach you, and if you want to come hear me, that's fine. You're not a shepherd. You're meeting a need there. Sheep need help. Sometimes they have to be carried. Sometimes they don't have the spiritual stamina to keep up with the flock, and they need someone who will call them on the phone, write them a note, or send them an email, or knock on a door and visit with them there and bring them back to the fold and keep them in the flock that they might be a part of it. Here's a fourth distinctive of shepherds. Shepherds lead their sheep. Last time we were together, we talked about sheep are easily led astray. I mean, it doesn't take much for them to someone to come along and lead them where they shouldn't be or shouldn't go. The shepherd leads his sheep. Isaiah said he gently leads those that have young. Now, that helps us understand something. Do you know the difference between a cowboy and a shepherd? Cowboys drive their sheep or their herd. Shepherds lead. Cowboys speak gently, or rather, shepherds speak gently to their sheep. Cowboys whistle and yell and shout. Shepherds carry a rod and staff to guide and lead their sheep. Cowboys have whips and spurs and they are quick to apply them. Shepherds lead their flocks in the right direction and path. Cowboys drive theirs wherever they can, the nearest route to the market. Shepherds don't coerce their sheep. They lead them. They tend to them. In short, they're so close to their flocks that they smell like sheep. And if that's how you smell, then it's likely that God can use you in being a shepherd and a leader in His flock and with His sheep. Here's a key thought to put into the middle of all what these distinctives, and that is a shepherd supplies the needs of his sheep. Sheep have their needs, and shepherds are to supply those needs. And there's a beautiful song in the Old Testament that describes this ministry or role. And I know you know the song already by heart. It's Psalm 23. Psalm 23 has six verses. And the six verses are divided into two parts. There are three verses in the first of the psalm and three verses in the last of the psalm. And the first three verses talk about the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. The last three verses talk about sheep. And David switches his pronouns here from third person to first person in those last three verses because David saw himself as a sheep. And he talks about how he is a sheep and he follows the great shepherd, the Lord, who is his shepherd. And the whole idea here in that psalm is how the shepherd supplies the needs of his sheep. So we'll go on to the fifth distinctive here. A shepherd provides for his sheep, and some of the things that we read there in that psalm in verses 1 and 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, I know that we're more city dwellers and less oriented to the country, but you understand that having green grass for your livestock, for your shepherds, is not something that just naturally happens. You have to put some thought into it. You're going to have to put some work into it. A good shepherd puts a lot of time and study into the lay of the land and where to take the sheep, where they can find good water. He clears the stony unbelief. He digs up the roots of bitterness that might be harboring there. He breaks up the hard ground of human pride and sows the precious word of God as seed for the future of the flock. A good shepherd does all of this. He provides for the needs of the flock and supplies them with what they need. Your pastor will be that kind of person. He will study and he will look and he will learn. He will find out where the best pastures are and the right direction to go is, and he will lead you in that direction. Here's another distinctive about a pastor. A pastor will bring joy to his sheep. It's there in that psalm. It says, he restores my soul. He brings joy. He restores my soul. The life of a sheep isn't easy from what I gather. Sheep have very little protection or immunity to crawling insects or diseases or predators or or even poisonous weeds. Someone has to look after them. Someone has to bring joy to them and restore them to help. And in many ways, people are just like sheep. We have those needs. We need that. We need that help. And one of the shepherd's constant tasks, this is an interesting one, is to keep the sheep from overeating. Leave sheep in a pasture and they'll eat the grass right down into the roots. I mean, they'll eat it all. The shepherd has to watch this, because when sheep eat too much, they get too big, and if their wool gets heavy and it gets matted with debris and all sorts of things, sometimes the sheep will wander along, find a little low depression, a ditch, we call that in the Carolinas. They fall over into that thing, roll over on their back, and they're so big and heavy and fat that their four legs are sticking up in the air, kicking like this, and they can't do a thing to get back on their feet again. There's a term for this among shepherds. They called it, the sheep are cast. They're cast. Now, if they lie there long enough, not too long, that grass they've eaten and so forth will all create problems, and they literally will die. A sheep that's cast will die. The shepherd knows that, and he comes along, finds the sheep that have been overfed, overeaten, and he'll put them back on their feet again. God knows that about his people. It's so easy for us to get complacent, get overfed spiritually, and in a sense, and we just kind of relax ourselves, and we get all bogged down with things, and we don't have time to pay attention to the real needs and issues in our lives, and it's very easy to fall into the spiritual rut. You can't get up, can't get started. Now, when that happens, shepherds know exactly what to do. They come along with their shears, and they get that sheep up, and they start clipping away all that matted fur, wool, and all of the things that sheep don't particularly enjoy, that process, getting sheared, clipped, you know. But once it's gone and all that excess weight is gone, then the sheep can breathe again. They're healthy, or strong again. And God does that sometimes with us too. He just shears some of the things that are distracting us, that are taking us away from who we ought to be, and make us the kind of person that we really need to be. As the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus is not going to allow his sheep to be cast down, overfed, inactive. He will take whatever steps are needed to restore our soul and to bring joy, restore joy to our very being. Let me give you the seventh distinctive here. A shepherd protects his sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Most sheep spend their lifetime in open fields. Out in the open fields, they have very little protection. They are subject to poisonous weeds. Shepherds have to find those, keep them away from the sheep. Shepherds often are set upon by predators. The good shepherd is there to protect them. They're sheep rustlers, you know. They'll take people out of one church and put them in another. It takes a good shepherd to come alongside and keep that from happening. All of these things, the shepherd protects his sheep. And sheep can live in peace even in all the dangers that are around us. Why? Because we know we have a great shepherd who's watching over us and who's taking care of us. And when we know that, we can encourage and inspire and help those who have problems and needs themselves. The basic question here is whether or not you have a shepherd who is the great shepherd, who will take care of you. Is Jesus your shepherd? Does he watch over you? The key thought is that when you do have a great shepherd, a good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, he will cause you to prosper. And that's the eighth distinction here. Sheep don't just take care of themselves. The care of the sheep is meticulous, it's endless, And in the whole, in our lives, the person who's going to be a shepherd devotes his life to taking care of the sheep and giving them the care that they need. I heard about an interesting experience some folks had who were touring the Middle East in the Bible lands, and the tour guide was explaining to them the role of shepherds. You see shepherds all over the Middle East. They're alongside the roads, and you see them out on the hillsides. And this particular tour bus, as they were talking about the tour guide was describing the shepherd, they happened upon a small flock of sheep, and the sheep were running around here and there, and there was a guy who was out there with the sheep, and he had a stick, and he was wailing away at some of the sheep. He was yelling at the sheep. They were just everywhere, and the guide told the driver, "Stop the bus," and he stopped the bus, and he got out of the bus, and he hollered at the guy with the sheep. He said, "Stop that," and he said, "What are you doing out there with those sheep? That's not what a shepherd does." And the guy looked at him, he says, "I'm not the shepherd, I'm the butcher." And that's the difference between butchers and shepherds who provide for their sheep, and the sheep prosper in their care. Pastors and teachers and volunteers who drive fellow members to act, and that's distorting the biblical view of who a pastor is and shepherding. That's confusing the church about what we are. We're not sheep drivers, we're shepherds. Jesus had a description of those who like to drive people and order them around and do things and not care for them. He called them hirelings. He said, "A hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep, and he flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the shepherd. The shepherd gives his life, lays down his life. He looks for those that are missing, and he cares for their needs. He protects them, and they prosper. And the ninth distinction here, that a good shepherd's sheep are secure. They are secure. Why? Because they know they're protected. They know their shepherd is there. They're in a favored position. That's why when the Scriptures talk about our position in Christ, we can say with the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, not even height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are sheep in his care. And no matter what happens, as sheep, we know, we're confident that there are green pastures ahead, there's still waters, there's goodness of the Lord, because our shepherd is with us. Now, does that mean, okay, no more storms at Big Springs, no more problems, no more difficulty? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Storms will come, there will be droughts, there will be seasons for refreshing. But what it does mean is simply this, that when those things come that are unpleasant and difficult, we have a shepherd we can turn to, one who will guide us. And he knows the great shepherd too, and he will lead him to make the right decisions and the right choices. The final distinction here is that when you have a good shepherd, the flock multiplies. The sheep grow, the flock multiplies. And that's what Psalm 23 and verse 1 is all about. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want." Under the care of the great shepherd, David prospered. His opportunities multiplied. His influence spread. He became a shepherd of men instead of just being a sheep. And to this day, people still recall the impact of David's shepherding Israel during those days. Now, I'll tell you, being a good shepherd doesn't require a lot of brains or high degree of IQ or anything like that, or power. What it requires is people who are willing to be like shepherds and care for the sheep. The Lord Jesus trains us for the task. I'm so glad that as you have met this morning about the calling of a younger man to be your shepherd, that you're thinking today about someone who is a young person, because he will only become stronger, wiser, more understanding, greater in terms of what God can do in his life. You get an old shepherd, he's kind of like me, can't change, nothing else to do, you know. But you've got a young person like that. And the Lord Jesus will train him for the task. The world, he will not see people the way the world sees them, the worldly view. The world uses people. Shepherds love people. The world competes for people. Shepherds build people. The world controls people. Shepherds serve people, and the world promotes people. But shepherds work together as a flock and a shepherd leader. Now, the first step in becoming a shepherd or being a shepherd, whether of a Sunday school class or a larger group or even the congregation, is not in looking at the task to be performed. But the first step is simply to ask yourself, am I a good sheep? Do I really belong to the great shepherd? Does he truly have control of my life? Do I find freedom and great joy because I'm under the leadership of the great shepherd? Do I know peace as well as excitement in belonging to him? Do I recognize his voice through his word? And am I ready to be a follower of the great shepherd? My question this morning is simply this: are you? Am I? And if not, why not? Jesus said, if any man hears my voice, let him take up his cross and follow me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for speaking to our hearts. I thank you, Lord, this morning, if you are speaking to the heart of some young pastor-to-be. Lord, if you are speaking to someone that you are calling to be a helper to a shepherd, that you will lead today and guide in our lives, in the life of each one. Lord, thank you for letting us be your sheep, your flock. Thank you for the opportunity to have a shepherd who will guide us in the way that you have set before us. And we bless you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think upon what God has spoken to our hearts, both about sheep and shepherds, my prayer today is that God is speaking to your heart and has spoken to you in such a clear and distinct way that you're prepared today to say, this is my response to the Lord. This is what I am willing to do. I will follow him. I will be a part of the body of Christ, the flock of Jesus. I will share what he has done for me through baptism as a believer in Christ, showing how Jesus came and lived and died for my sin and was raised again for my justification. There's no better time than right now to make a choice like that and to become the person that God wants you to be. My prayer is that you are willing today to make that choice right now. Let's stand as we sing. You come and share that with me. Just say, this is what I've decided.
Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, lead me, Lord, I will go. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go.
Thank you so much. In my heart today, it's my prayer that each one of you, each of us, has said exactly that to the Lord. Lead me, Lord. I will go. I will follow. Won't you be seated just a moment as we share with you the news of the day? And I'm asking Don to come, and he's chairperson of the search team, and he'll get a microphone where you can hear very clearly. While he's getting to the platform, let me just share with you. I'll bring a final sermon tonight for you entitled, Have You Been Turkeyrized? And I want you to take the back side of your program there where it says there's a true and false test. And if you will take that test, these are all questions I'm sure you have heard. And if you'll just read them through and then mark them, true, false, which ones you think are. Tonight, I'll share with you whether or not you've been turkeyrized. All right? We'll meet again at 6 o'clock for our worship time. Brother Don.
After the vote in the count, I'm pleased to let you know that our vote today is 98% to call Daniel Malone as our next pastor.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, our next step, of course, our next step is to report these findings to Daniel. And he's continuing to pray. I've been talking to him this week. And hopefully we will have a result, an answer from him in the near future. Thank you.